Take out your Bibles and turn to the book of 1 John. 1 John chapter 1. Today I want to start a series of teachings that's going to be focused on knowing Jesus. And the backdrop for a lot of this series is going to be the book of 1 John. And the focus of today's teaching is going to be how the corporate body leads us to know Christ. The corporate worship experience. How does the corporate worship experience, how does the corporate body experience lead us to know the Lord? All right, 1 John chapter 1. I'm going to read the first two verses, and then we'll read some more in a little bit. 1 John 1, 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard. Now, when John's talking about the beginning here, he's not necessarily just talking about the beginning of our ministry, the beginning of our trek, the beginning of our life. John is talking about that which was from the Genesis, that which was from the origin, that which was the source, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at, and our hands have touched. This we proclaim concerning the word of life. The life appeared and is still appearing. And we have seen it and testified to it, and we proclaim to you the eternal life which was with the Father and has appeared to us. Now, there are two things that I want you to notice out of those two verses. The first one is this. I want you to notice the intimate, first-hand experience that is being portrayed here by John and the disciples. Now, this is John writing. But look at what John is saying about their interaction with Jesus. John's not just talking about a creed. John's not just declaring a philosophy. John is not just teaching a pathway of enlightenment. John is saying, we saw him. We heard him. John's saying, we touched him. We had firsthand interaction. We had firsthand experience with him. We are not just talking to you about a way. We're talking to you about a person who has become the way, who is the way. But we were involved with him. He touched our lives. He ministered to us. We experienced him. I want you to notice that. Because that is a crux of the gospel. The Lord desires to have that type of relationship with each and every one of us. One in which you can look at somebody else, and instead of arguing philosophies, instead of arguing ways of believing, different ways of believing with somebody who may think differently than you, you can look at somebody and say, I touched him. I heard him this morning. We had a talk today. I sat in his presence. I felt the power of God emanating into my life by sitting with him today. I walked with him. I talked with him. I heard him speak to me. I heard him input to me in my life. He healed my afflictions. He touched my heart. He spoke to my problem. Me personally, intimately, firsthand. That's the type of relationship that John is talking about here is normal. Everybody say normal. Normal for all of you that walk with God. If you're not there, boy, God's calling you to get there. He says he's calling you out of head knowledge into heart knowledge. Into a place where you understand that you've had an interaction, that you and his life have become mixed. That you have felt him brush into your life and you know him intimately. Now the second thing, and this is kind of the Where I'm going over the next few weeks, or part of where I'm going, is this. I want you to notice out of these verses that this revelation, even though it's very intimate and very personal, was given to a corporate group. The Apostle John says, we heard it. We saw it with our eyes. We looked at him. Our hands touched. Knows you. When you look at Psalm 139, verses 1 through 6, I think we've got that. You can see the intimacy of God at work in our lives. David cried out and he said, oh Lord, you have searched me and known me. Now that can scare you, or that can make you happy. Say, Lord, you know me. You know everything about me. You know my sitting down. You know my rising up. You understand my thoughts. Ooh, afar off. You comprehend my path. You understand what I'm going to do before I do it. You are acquainted with it. You know what that means in the Hebrew? He's like a hunter, not to kill you, but he's like a hunter who studies his prey. He knows the footprints of what he's hunting. He knows where its habitats. He knows when it nests, when it roosts. He knows all those things about it. That's what the heart of what's being said here. God understands you. He has made you a point of study in his life. You are acquainted with all of my ways. There's not a word on my tongue. But behold, O Lord, you know it all together, even before I'm going to say it. You have hedged me in behind and before. You know what that means? You're in front of me and behind me at the same time. And you've laid your hand upon me. He knows all those things and has still decided to touch us and put his hand upon us. And such knowledge. Now look at this. David says, when I think about these things, they're mind-blowing to me. This is so wonderful. It is so high above my understanding that it's, even though it's so beautiful and it opens doors up into my life, it's still hard to imagine. That's the type of intimacy that God has in our life. But Jesus didn't entrust the revelation of himself to one man. In Islam, that happened. We had one man receiving revelation from an angel, okay, supposedly. But Jesus didn't do it that way. Jesus came and called a group of people and revealed himself to a group. Each one at a personal, intimate level, but only truly being known to them through their corporate sharing and corporate walk and corporate search of God with one another. This is what it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. It says, for as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For in fact, the body is not one member, but many. And if they were all one member, where would the body be? And then look at the importance of one another in our search for God, in our knowing of Jesus. Look at the importance. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you to know God. I don't need you to do my ministry. I don't need you to walk this thing out. And the head can't say to the feet, I have no need of you. Jesus chose to reveal himself to us in a very personal and intimate way, but in a corporate body. Let me just put it to you this way. You would not know Jesus if it wasn't for other people. You wouldn't. You wouldn't know him. Who preached the gospel to you? Somebody else. We are all partaking today of the apostles' fellowship with Jesus. And they are crying out. They're saying, we want you to be in fellowship with Jesus, and that includes to really know him like he need, like you can know him. That includes being in fellowship with us. To really know him, we must know him in a corporate sense. The intimate firsthand knowledge of Jesus, this is just a summary, is experienced through an individual relationship with Jesus that's lived out in the corporate body. Somebody says, I know that, Pastor. What you're telling me, I already know. This is boring. Okay, then let's move on to verses 3 and 4 in 1 John 1. And I'm going to read these in the Amplified. Now, this is what John is saying, okay? And this is just going to hammer home what I said earlier. What we have seen, John's talking about he and the apostles, what we experienced and what we heard and what we come to know, we are telling you so that you too may realize, so for the people to realize and have an experience and a revelation of God, it took these other folks working with them, pouring into their life. It took a corporate experience here. It took a corporate learning. It took a corporate walk. It took a corporate expression that you may realize who Jesus is and enjoy fellowship as partners and partakers with us. So many people, whatever part of the body that they are, they don't feel like they need anybody else. Well, hey, it's just me and Jesus. Just me and him. And you know what I have found out? That when it's just you and Jesus, you are not growing like you would be if you were living out your relationship with God in the corporate expression. Now, that's biblical. That's not just me trying to get people into church. Because the Lord, he gave each one of us a ministry of the Spirit. Now, every single one of you have the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead living within you. But I want to know who in here received the full expression of every gift of the Holy Ghost. You didn't. And you know who decided to do it that way? The Lord did. And you know why he decided to do it that way? Because he wants us to know him in a corporate fashion. Now, that doesn't mean that when you leave the corporate group that you go home and you don't study the Word, you don't seek God, and you don't do anything in between those corporate meetings. That's not what I'm saying. But what I am saying is if to know Jesus for the fullest extent possible and to see the fullest extent of ministry manifested through the Holy Ghost, it takes all of us together. It takes all of us together. It sure takes more than me because God didn't give me many gifts. I mean, I've got a couple, I think. But, you know, I don't have a whole lot of gifts. I need other people that are around that have other expressions and endowments of the Holy Spirit so that we can minister like Jesus would minister. I'm going to tell you something. If you get out there by yourself and it's just going to be you and Jesus, I'm going to tell you what's going to happen to your relationship with God. You are going to begin, I'm going to use an old-fashioned term that they used to use in the old church. You're going to begin to slide back. I don't mean you're going to lose your salvation. I'm just mean you're going to lose your sharpness. You're going to lose your effectiveness. You're going to lose your challenges. The challenge that is in you to stretch, to grow, and to be something more than what you are right now. Your knowledge of Jesus didn't originate with you. Without the experience of others, we wouldn't know Jesus like we could in its fullest extent. Now, our fellowship with Jesus is the distinguishing mark of us as Christians. But it's known in its most joyful state through the inclusion of those who believe in the corporate experience of Christ and of those who've gone before us and of those who are living in the body with us right now. That's how we know it in its fullest extent. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7, it says, the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of that one. Is that what it said? No. For the profit of all, what? All. Who is all? Michael Gilliam is all. Michael Ron is all. No, you don't have to be named Michael to be here. All of us. It's given for the profit of all. We know Jesus. We see the greatest power, the greatest anointing, the greatest movement of God. We see it in our corporate walk with the Lord. That doesn't mean that God's not going to speak to you when you're alone. He's not going to visit you when you're alone. He's not going to talk to you when you're alone. Yes, He is. But many times what God is going to talk to you about when you're alone is about how what you're going to do in the corporate experience or about something that's happening in the corporate experience. So we got to stick together. We got to hang together. And I hear somebody say, well, Pastor, the body of Christ is imperfect and causes offense and pain. So wouldn't an individual search be of more profit than a corporate search? Well, God uses the imperfection of human involvement in the body to grow us into His image. If you're going to be involved in the body of Christ, then you're going to have to learn to forgive. You're going to have to learn to handle conflicts, which means you're going to have to learn to grow up and receive input from into your life, constructive input. That doesn't mean somebody's saying to you all the time exactly what you want to hear, when you want to hear it, and how you want to hear it. You've got to be big enough to hear input. There's going to be conflicts, there's going to be disagreements, and there's going to be disappointments. And you've got to learn to handle all of that stuff biblically. The Bible never teaches us to abandon the corporate worship experience. It teaches us how to handle the human failings of the body. That's what it teaches us. It doesn't say, oh my God, this is too big of a mess, just get out of it and seek God on your own. Remember when Jesus went up on the top of the Mount of Transfiguration with His disciples? They all went up there. It was such a great experience. There was three of them that went. It was a great experience, such a great experience. Peter wanted to stay. Let's build some tabernacles here. Let's just stay here. This is awesome. And Jesus said, no, our calling's in the demon-possessed valley. We got to get back down in there. That's where the problems are. That's where the argument. And when they walked back down, what did they walk into? Arguments, disagreements, demons. People falling on the ground. People, why can't this happen? Why is this not happening? But Jesus said, that's where we live out our experience of knowing the Father together. All right, let me just give you a few suggestions. You say, Pastor, when we get together as a corporate body, there's imperfections there. Well, the Bible tells you how to handle it. Is there sin in the church? If there is, then Matthew 18, 15 through 20 tells you, everybody look at your neighbor and say, that tells you exactly what to do about it. Matthew 18, 15 through 20, you can write that down. Your brother sins against you, go and tell his fault between you and him alone. If he hears you, you've gained your brother. If he will not hear you, take with you one or two more, that by the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. And if he refuses to hear them, tell it to the church. And that's not, you know, put it in the church bulletin. That means take it to the church leadership. Okay? But if he refuses even to hear the church, then let him be to you like a heathen and a tax collector. Okay? That Bible tells us what to do about sin in the church, okay? It tells us exactly what to do. All right? Are you offended by another member? Matthew 18, 21 through 35 tells you exactly what to do. Okay? Are you confused by the decisions of a leader? Then Hebrews 13, 17 through 18 tells you how to handle that. But never at any place do you see, this is too big of a mess, let's buck out and do this on our own. I can tell you something. Every time that I have pulled away from the body, my relationship with God has done like this. I'm not saying I lost my my salvation. I'm just saying my sharpness decreased. My ability to hear decreased. My death to the flesh decreased. I know that we hurt one another, and I know that we sin against one another, but that provides me with an opportunity. And that opportunity is to handle things biblically, to die to my flesh, and to follow the Holy Ghost. If I become a monk and go sit on a hillside, none of that stuff is going to happen. And it's going to be a lot easier for the enemy to come along to me like he did to Jesus. Jesus didn't fail this test. But if you do that and you retreat like that, the enemy's going to do the same thing to you that he did to Jesus in the wilderness. He's going to come up to you and he's going to say, this is rough. Or you need this, or you need that. And guess what the Bible says? The Bible says you can have it. And you know what you're going to do? Without anybody prodding you and helping you be there to see your blind spots, to help you work forward with it, you'll take the easy way out. You say, you don't know me, Pastor. I probably know you better than you know. Okay? Because you are human, and it is human nature to take the easy way out. That's human nature. All right? So, when John talked to us about knowing Jesus intimately, he talked to us about that in a corporate experience. How many gospels? Is there just one gospel written in the New Testament? How many gospels are there?
Four.
You got four different perspectives. You think God did that on purpose? Now, in Islam, you got one guy's word. In Christianity, you have four witnesses, different people, different perspectives, different folks. And the Lord did that on purpose. Number one, it magnifies his witness. Number two, together we know him better than we do separately. So how many of you in here want to know the Lord? You're going to have to get close to some people. And I know that, believe me, I know some of you have been hurt by people, but I've said this before, God will use what hurt you to heal you. Some of you say, I will never get close to people again. Well, you know what you've just done? You've just decided a huge part of your spiritual future, and it's been in a detrimental way. The Lord healed me of much of the pain that I had experienced at the hands of people. He healed most of that, not all of it. He did some of it one-on-one between he and I. But he healed most of that in my relationship with other believers. I can remember one time, and he may be watching today because he says he watches all the time. I can remember one time I was hurting so badly, and the root of all of the pain and the hurt that I was feeling was there because of things that other people had done to hurt me, or had not done, said and didn't do, did and shouldn't have done. And I was hurting so bad that day, and I had set up a lunch to eat with somebody that was part of the core team that I knew the Lord had showed me that the Lord was going to use to heal me. If you're out there and you're hurting, there are about two or three people that the Lord will show you needs to be a part of your restoration. You can say, well, I don't want to do it that way. Then stay where you are. I had that argument with him for 5 years. That don't work. If he says he's going to heal you through and use people in your life, he means that. And your self-pity and crying and determination to do it one-on-one or through a miracle is not going to change his mind. Okay? So I had a lunch with this guy this day, and I was hurting so bad and messed up and freaking out. It was a bad day. Anybody ever have a bad day? It was a bad day, and I went there, and I unloaded everything, and he was a part of the group, and that was okay. He didn't mind that, but I unloaded everything. I was talking about him, and he just looked at me. He said, man, I don't know what to tell you about all that. I really don't. I don't know what to say. But then big tears came to his eyes and they went down his face. He goes, I just want to tell you though, I sure do love you. That's all I needed to hear. This big tears. I don't know what to say about all that, but I just want to tell you, I sure do love you. Man, I saw the heart of God. And I saw the answer to everything that I needed. And I just opened my heart to receive it. And that's what God has for you. That's what He's going to do through the body. You say, well, that's not my experience. Are you open to a new experience? Are you tired of the same old thing over and over and over again? Isolation is going to lead you to loneliness, fear, and stunted spiritual and emotional growth. I know what it's like to be afraid to get close to people. I know. I was pulling out of my driveway this morning. I ran before all the kids had to be brought to church. There's a lot of car seats and stuff to put people in, but and bags to carry. I got to be there. I'm going to go. You know, how many of you got little kids? It's like moving an army. I know, I can see you dads. God bless you dads and moms that put all that stuff in the back of SUVs. And every time my daughter says, Dad, can you help me unload some things when they come over? I'm like, oh, God. They brought everything for anything, not just that it is going to happen, but could possibly happen. You know, I have this snorf duffel here, you know, just in case. You know, just in case, you know, one of them has a snorf, then I got a snorf duffel here. Well, can you carry that in? It weighs 50 pounds, you know. You know, you're carrying in the vaporizers, and you're carrying in the vapor thing, all this stuff, you know, the humidifiers and the air killers and the and all that other kind of stuff, and booty wipes and swim diapers, not just swim diapers, nighttime diapers, not just nighttime and swim diapers, regular diapers for the daytime, all of that kind of stuff, and you're just moving it, and then the next thing you know, really what you're dreading is that you'd really dread the day they have to leave, not because you're going to miss them that bad because you got to put all that stuff back into the car. You know, just put you got to put it all back in, and usually a few other things. I hate it when one of my daughters brings things for the other daughter. I hate that. They bring them to my house so I can load them in the back of the car. Actually, my house is the meeting place, But anyway, I don't even know what I was going to say after all that. What was I saying before I started all that? You weren't even listening, were you? Huh? You were? Yeah. Oh, I was backing out the driveway. Amen. Hallelujah. That got it. And you know, I've had a certain type of wound in my life that if things are good in my life, I'm just waiting for the other shoe to fall. Anybody else say, I'd be willing to admit. And that's Parky fights that. I pull out of my driveway and say, everything's so good, something bad must be going to happen. Because God's just got to, He's got to put me through some kind of challenge to test me. You know what I'm saying? And the Lord just spoke to me and He just said, son, I love you. Amen. And you know, that's not the heart of God. But you know what? If Parky was all by himself, a lot of those things would just go unchallenged in my life. And I would just live with that constant thing. But, you know, I can hear that from God over and over and over, but there's something about when I hear that from one of you guys, there's something about it takes on a confirmation. I got a father here in the faith that can look at me and say, Parky, everything's going to be okay. And somebody that's been through 88 years of wars and battles, and when somebody can look at you like that and say, it's going to be all right, don't be afraid. What you're thinking about's not going to happen. And it takes on a whole other meaning. Anybody understand what I'm saying when we say that? I'm not saying they're God, but it's just a confirmation of what the Lord is saying. So we need one another. Everybody look at your neighbor and say, I need you. Now, if you just look, a single man looked at a single woman, you know, let's rephrase that, okay? Yeah. Somebody's had their eye on another single person here in the church, so they're trying to run to get to that seat. Sit down there and look at them and say, I need you. Thus saith the Lord. Be careful of people that prophesy to you they're supposed to be your mate. Oh. I had a man come and told my mother they were supposed to get married. He was the weirdest guy on the planet. I'm telling you, he was. Bless his heart. I came home one day, he's praying naked in the front room. Saw what I didn't want to see. He used to go sit in the cemetery and read on a headstone. I'm serious. When I preached my grandmother's funeral, he sat on the back row. Thank God it was on the back row. He sat on the back row and held up a book. I don't even think it was the Bible, but held up a book the whole time. You have a question, sir? How do Christians do we get so messed up? You know how we get messed up? We quit and get out of the corporate body. And then we start hearing all kinds of hooky stuff. We do. The Lord said, you're Moses. You've come back as Moses. I mean, we hear all kinds of weirdo things when we get out of the body. Us charismatics can be weird. I really believe that, man, you guys are so close to God, but when charismatics get away from Jesus, we get strange. When we get away from one another, is what I'm trying to say. Oh, my Lord. But anyway, next week, if Jesus tarries, and if he doesn't, we better get busy this week. But next week, if Jesus tarries, we're going to talk about how walking in the light enhances and betters our relationship with one another. And man, this is going to be better than 6 counseling sessions on how to get your relationship better. Okay, really. It's going to be good, not because I say it, but because it's in, not because I'm going to say it, because it's in the book. All right? Well, let's pray. Well, Lord, it would be easier sometimes just to sit home, we think. Because, Lord, Sister So-and-so, Brother Doofus, and that guy that always meets me, I try to skirt through the church so he won't see me. And Lord, it seems to us like it would be easier. But Lord, you put Brother Doofus in my life. And you know, there's a reason that he's there. And he's there to teach me to be like you. And you know what? I can hear some things and read them out of the Word of God all day long. But Brother Doofus makes them happen in my life. He does. He makes it happen. He takes it from philosophy to reality. So, Lord, I thank you for him, and I thank you for the body of Christ. And, Lord, I'm realizing that I really can't know you in the fullness of what I can know you without people around me, without the body around me. And so, Lord, with all those challenges that it causes, I give you praise for the body and for the corporate expression. And Lord, I just pray you'll make me a useful and loving member of that expression. And Father, I thank you that you've put somebody in my life that I'm challenged to love. Without challenges, I don't grow. Something about us as humans, we just don't grow without challenge. So Lord, we thank you for it. And I also thank you for all the wonderful brothers and sisters you've put in my life that show me on a day-by-day basis the heart of God. You know, that just always seem like just being around them just helps me. Lord, I thank you for one brother that's not even in this church, Damian Broussard. I thank you for him. Who every time I get around him and I leave his presence, I just feel so much better. I feel strengthened. I feel encouraged. I feel loved. Father, I thank you for the ones that are in this body that you use so powerfully in my life and in the lives of others. And Lord, we pray you would reveal yourself to us in this expression, in this corporate body. We give you praise. And we thank you that you have brought us together. We don't join a body based upon our comfort. We join a body based upon your direction. And if you tell us this is your place, get in it, then that's why we connect. And Father, through those connections, use me and use others in my life. In Jesus' name. And everybody said,
amen,
amen, amen, and amen.